afternoon we want to continue our study in the look in the life of King Solomon. And we're in 1 Kings, and we want to continue where we left off on Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening, we had looked at the dedication of the temple. And Solomon had begun to dedicate the temple, and he was recounting the history of Israel and the history of the temple to the people, and encouraging them and calling them to honor the name of the Lord. And he also talked to them about the importance of walking in obedience to God. This afternoon, I'd like to take a look at the prayer that Solomon begins. This is still at the dedication of the temple. And he begins to pray not only for the temple, but on behalf of the people. And it's interesting to look at Solomon's life. When he started out, he really focused on God with his life. And one of the things that we see happening that happened to Solomon that can often happen to us, and it's one of the things that even warns the people about in the dedication statements he made, as well as in the prayer he's sharing, is that when we take our eyes off of God and place them on the things around us, we can begin to be influenced by the world, which will draw us away from God instead of closer to God. Unfortunately, at the end of Solomon's life, that's really the direction he had begun to go, and he'd been influenced greatly by the political alliances he had made for the kingdom of Israel, and as well as the wives that had brought into his life. And he had way more than one wife. God had said one man for one woman for life, and Solomon had hundreds. And a lot of these may have been for political reasons, may have been for other reasons, but he should have never done it, and he allowed them to influence him, and he allowed them to worship their false gods, which began to turn the hearts of the people of Israel away from the Lord. Well, let's look at this afternoon at the prayer of Solomon. And let's begin, if you would, at see where we left off. Let's begin at verse 46 this afternoon. And I'm going to read verses 46 through the end of the chapter, and then we'll come back and look at it. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away, captives unto the land of the enemy, far and near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives, and repent and make supplications unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul, and in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee word in their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built in thy name. Then hear their prayers and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before thee who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron. And thine eyes may be chosen unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate from them among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees when he was with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given the rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he hath promised. There hath he not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised in the hand of Moses his servant. And the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, and as he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplications before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is no one else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as of at this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, which he offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep, so that the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. And the same day did the king hallow the middle of the court, who was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and meat offerings and of fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar that was before the Lord was too little to receive the burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat offerings of peace. And at that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from the entering in of Hamath even to the river Jordan, before the Lord our God, 7 days and 7 nights, even 14 days. And on the 8th day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king, and went into their tents joyful and glad of the heart, for the goodness of the Lord had done for David his servant, and for Israel his people. Let's just bow in prayer. Father, I pray that you just help us as we look at this and dissect your word, and help us to understand the importance of the things that Solomon said. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You remember that Solomon had gathered all of Israel together, all the elders, all the men, all the priests were all standing around, as well as all the whole congregation of the Israelite people. They've been gathered together before the temple of the Lord to dedicate the temple to God. And this was the dedication ceremony that Solomon was partaking in. We read the first portion of his dedication speech and then prayer on Wednesday night. We looked at the last portion of his prayer here, and then also some more words that he shared with the people. I just want us to look at these words, some of the things that are very important to understand. God is not through with Israel even today. And a lot of people, even in the church, think that God is done with Israel. He's not. Even according to the words of Solomon, he's not. because God has chosen Israel as a special people unto himself to be a light unto the world of his glory and the depth of his grace. So let's begin at verse 36, and he talks about the fact that it's not if they sin, but when they sin. Solomon knows that the people are going to sin. It's been foretold by the prophets that they are going to be taken into captivity. At this particular time, the people may think, well, no, look at, we've just gotten a temple. We're God's people. The temple is very special. But Solomon gives them a warning in his prayer, and he prays before God that God would be merciful and gracious to his people, even in spite of what is coming. He says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and I'll be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy so that he carry them away, captives unto the land of their enemy far and near. Did that happen? The answer is absolutely yes. The kingdom came at the time of Solomon's death. His son Rehoboam took over the kingdom for his father. Rehoboam didn't go to the Lord to consult God on how he should run the kingdom. He didn't ask God for wisdom in running the kingdom, but instead he went to his friends. Instead of going to the wiser, older men, the elders of Israel, the leaders of the tribes, and have them a council together with them to ask them what they should do, Rehoboam instead went to his young friends and asked them what he should do. The older people had counseled Rehoboam, reduce the taxes, reduce the burden on the people that your father has placed on them. And Solomon had placed a great burden on the people. Part of it was used to build this temple. So we see that their elders were very wise. They said the people can't continue to bear up under this burden. And so reduce the burden of the taxes and that you placed on the people. Rehoboam went to his younger friends and they told him, well, what you've got to do is increase the taxes. If your father had this much tax and had this much of a burden, make it more and show them that you are the one in charge, is essence what they're saying. And so Rehoboam, in all of his infinite youthful wisdom and not seeking God, listened to the counsel of his friends. And he increased the taxes, he increased the burdens upon the people, and the people revolted. And we see that this is the first case of where there actually was a permanent split in Israel for a long period of time, in that the northern 10 tribes of Israel called themselves Israel and split off of Benjamin and Judah, which remained loyal to Rehoboam. And so we see that there was two kingdoms then, Judah and Israel. And they also, both kingdoms, eventually did exactly what Solomon in this prayer warned them not to do. He said, Lord, if they sin, remember that all men sin. But Lord, if you must, they'll be taken away into captivity for their sin. And that's exactly what happened. The northern kingdom went into captivity under the Assyrian Empire about 100 years earlier than the southern kingdom went into captivity. And the northern kingdom had sinned much more grievously and had violated the worship and had violated the temple worship, had violated the ordinances of the Lord, had violated the commands of the Lord, and worship false gods at a much quicker and faster rate than the southern kingdom. They were taken captive by the Assyrians. And then, 100 years later, Judah and the remaining, those remaining Israelites that had fled to Judah, were also taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And they were both taken into captivity by the Babylonians. The interesting thing is, Solomon had prayed for them, that if this in fact did happen, and it did happen, that God would be gracious and merciful and remember them in the time of their captivity. And that he would remember them in the time of their captivity, and in the time of their captivity, they would call out to the Lord, they would repent of their sin, and they would desire to be forgiven of their sin and brought back into the land. And then Solomon also made an interesting statement in his prayer. And he said that those who would take them captive would look favorably upon them and help to place them back in the land. That is exactly what happened with the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire did look favorably upon Israel, and it was through the ministry of Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar and things that God did in the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, which caused him to declare that the God of the Hebrews, the God of the Jews, was the true God, and that all of his kingdom should worship him. Later on, the Medes and the Persians defeated the Babylonians, and again Daniel was brought into the picture as Daniel gave the final death knell to the Babylonian kingdom, to Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, where you caught the phrase, the handwriting's on the wall, and you hear people say that, but they don't even know what they're saying. But the handwriting was on the wall for Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, because as they were having this great banquet to celebrate the fact that they had defeated the God of the Jews, and they were using the instruments from the temple in their orgy to drink their wine and celebrate all of this, all of a sudden the hand came writing on the wall saying, today you have been found wanting, and you are lost in the balance, and that Nebuchadnezzar's grandson was being judged by God. And at the very time they were having this big celebration, the Medes and the Persians were coming into the temple. As they came in underneath the river, they caused the river to be lowered so that they could walk into the temple through the river. And the Babylonians had thought that their city was impregnable and unconquerable. And at the very moment that they were celebrating that, they were conquered. The Medes and the Persians then were used by God to bring the people back into the land. Under Cyrus, the king of the Medes and the Persians, he brought Israel back into the land. He encouraged them to go into the land to rebuild the temple. And also, we see later on that Nehemiah was also encouraged to go back, and Ezra was building the temple. Nehemiah was encouraged by the king to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And so the Lord remembered Solomon's prayer and heard it, and the people repented, came back into the land, and they rebuilt the temple. And they repossessed the land for a period. Solomon goes on and he says, "And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul, and the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thee." And so he's speaking of the land of Israel, which is the same land of Israel that's there today. He's speaking of Jerusalem, the same city of Jerusalem that is there today. And he's speaking of the temple, which is on the Temple Mount. But this temple had been destroyed by the Babylonians, but they would rebuild it under Ezra. "And then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, and thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause." And so he understands the only one that can really help Israel is the Lord. And the Lord can change hearts. The Lord can cause them to be brought back into the land. "And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, all their transgressions wherewith they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them, and they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron." And so he says, remember where you brought them from, and the fact that these people are the mark of your compassion. They are your inheritance. Really, in other portions of Scripture, it says they are the one that is to be his sign to the world of the fact that he's God. They're to bring forth glory to his name and reveal who he is to the world. And this is part of what Israel is to do. Now, one of the things that as you read this, Solomon is asking this for a rebellious people that even aren't rebelling at this particular moment. But he knows rebellion's coming. And he's praying that God will do this because he's a merciful and gracious God, and that his name may be protected and preserved. I want you to understand that there's Christians today that would never pray this prayer for Israel. And you say, what? Well, that's true. There are Christians today that believe all the wickedness in the world is being caused by Israel and the Zionists and the Jews. And there are people that even name the name of Christ that say that they're Christians. They don't read my Bible, but what they say is that Hamas is the one that's being hurt in this war. The ones who are creating genocide are the Jewish people, the Zionists, and that they need to be driven from the land. And I'm going, how does that align with what we've just read of Solomon's prayer? We as Christians should have the same perspective that Solomon had. That guess what? The Jewish people are sinners. Solomon said, every man sins. Okay? And the Jewish people are sinners. They're no different than any other people in that regard. It's just that God has set them aside and has called them out of all the peoples of the world to be a people unto himself, as Solomon says, an inheritance. And as an inheritance, they are the ones that he has given his land to. Now, it doesn't matter what anybody would think. When my parents died, my sisters and I inherited their land. Now, it didn't matter what the neighbors thought. It didn't matter much what the county commissioners thought. It didn't even matter what the state of North Dakota thought, or the federal government. As long as my parents had written in a will that their land was to be ours, and everything had been recorded properly, it was ours. And there was nothing, it didn't matter what other people thought, the land was ours. Well, how much more so for God's land? God said, this is my land to give. I have chosen out of all the nations of the world to create a nation. I will create a nation, I'll call it Israel. It's not coming from any other nation. And this nation is the one that I am going to record in my word. I'm going to duly record it properly, that they are to inherit the land that I will give them. And I gave it first to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it shall be theirs as their final inheritance. In the last days, I will call them back to that inherited land, and it's theirs. It's nobody else's. It's not Hamas's. It's not the Arabs. It's not the Egyptians. It's not the America's land. It's not Europe's land. It's not the Pope's land. It's Israel's land. The deed has been recorded, the transaction has been made, and the inheritance has been delivered properly. And what Solomon is saying is, there's going to come a time where they're going to rebel, and they're not going to see the significance and the importance of their inheritance, but Lord, don't forget them, the inheritance is still theirs. The land is still theirs. The Temple Mount is still theirs. Jerusalem is still theirs. And so bring it to their mind again, cause them to repent, and cause them to return to the land that you have given them. How do we have the audacity as Christians today to say that somehow this God has negated what Solomon prayed here? I don't find it negated anywhere in God's Word. And yet there are Christians today that are saying that. And so we need to be praying for Israel, as Solomon prayed for Israel, that they would repent, that God would soften their hearts, He'd open their eyes, He'd give them ears of understanding, and they call on the one who had given them not only the land, but had called them as a people, and it also preserved them through the power of the Messiah he brought forth through them. And that this Messiah was the same Messiah that the Gentiles needed to trust in order to be redeemed and saved. And we should be praying for Israel in the same way that Solomon is praying, that the nation of Israel's hearts would be turned to the Lord and they would return to the land. Verse 52, and thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people, Israel, to hearken unto them in all they call unto thee. And one of the things that's happening that's amazing today is people are, even though they're not coming in droves as Jewish people to Christ, there are a lot more people coming to Christ in Israel today than have come in a long time. And people are turning to God's Word, albeit the Torah. They're not turning to the New Testament, but they're turning to the Torah, to the laws of Moses, and looking to them and to the Psalms. And they are beginning to open up towards the things of God. And just pray that God will continue to open their eyes, allow them to read Isaiah 53 and see that Jesus is the Messiah. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. They are an inheritance, a special inheritance unto the Lord. Well, now, I just want to take a look and come down to the last portion of Solomon's, where his dedication, and let's come down to verse 55. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, and now comes a blessing. He's finished his prayer, and he is now blessing the people. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he hath promised. There he hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. And I want you to understand that today is the same thing. God has not failed with one word of his promise. He said, he told them, just as Solomon told, there's going to come a time where you're going to be taken away in captivity. The Lord also told them that there's going to come a time where they would be pushed out amongst the nation, referred to as the dispersion under the Roman Empire in 70 AD, where they were dispersed amongst all the nations of the world, yet they remained an identifiable people. The Lord said they would. They would always be identifiable as the Jewish people, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the house of Israel, and they are to this day. He said that he would hiss and bring them back from all the nations of the world into the land once again. They had never lived in the land as a really viable, identifiable nation since they had been dispersed amongst the nations in 70 AD. There's been Jews living in the land of Israel, but it had not been the land of Israel, at least recognized by the world. And there hadn't been a whole government and established and a nation recognized. But in 1948, God did bring the Jews back into Israel. They became a nation once again. They called themselves Israel, just as God said they would. They came back not as two nations, but as one. And the scriptures tell us that they went out as two sticks. They remained two sticks, but they would come back as one stick. They would, instead of coming back as Judah and Israel, they came back as Israel, the nation, one under God. We're seeing that even today, God is still whistling or hissing and still calling people back to Israel. There is a rabbi in the United States that said that Jews in America should consider moving to Israel because it's in Israel where you can be protected. It's in Israel where you will not experience anti-Semitism. And it's in Israel that Jewish people should go. I mentioned this morning that the chief rabbi of France said that all the Jews in France should move to Israel because it's getting so bad with anti-Semitism in France. And we're seeing that more people are moving to Israel. And people are moving to Israel and they're giving up really, really good jobs in some countries and they go to Israel and they have jobs that would pale in comparison to what they had been doing, but they still have a hunger and a desire to be in Israel. And that's the work of God. And as God is doing this, he says, "Blessed the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that that has been promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses' servant." The Lord our God be with us, and with us with our fathers. Let them not leave us nor forsake us. And that he may incline our hearts unto him. And so this is what Solomon is telling the people. Keep your eyes focused on the promises of God. Ask God, don't let those promises be forsaken, and incline our hearts unto you. Why? To walk in all his ways, that is the Lord's ways, to keep his commandments, that is the Lord's commandments, and his statutes, that's the Lord's statutes, and his judgments, the Lord's judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God, day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times as the matter shall require. And so in other words, as things come up, may this always be the focus, and may we always return to looking towards God and not towards ourselves or man or the world. That all people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. And what is the purpose that the Jewish people would do this? They haven't grasped the full intent of their calling yet, the majority of them. But it says right here that the whole world may know that the Lord is the true God and that he is the one that is real. Let their heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, and walk in his statutes, and to keep his commandments as at this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And then they had a huge sacrificial feast. I mean, you look at the number of animals sacrificed, it's unbelievable. And they also had a seven-day feast, where they literally feasted before the Lord and looked at their hands and praised before the Lord, sang and danced before the Lord in feast. And then at the end of that, it says they returned to their homes, to their own tents. And when they went to their own tents, they took the words of Solomon with them. The sad thing is how quickly we forget. How quickly Israel forgets. Two generations later, they already forgot what Solomon had said. We see that how quickly we forget. 1948, the Jews are just being just massacred by the Germans. It's the Holocaust is going on, and they say the world will never forget. Yet, look at how quickly we forget. We are now in 2000, not quite 100 years later, and we've already forgot. When we have the second Holocaust, if you would, of the Jewish young people by Hamas, how quickly the world forgets. How quickly many of the Jewish people forget. And the thing is, we are not to forget. We're to keep our eyes on God and heed the words of Solomon, that we understand that the Jewish people have been given as a light to the world the reality of the true and living God, and God will yet use them for that in the last days. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to focus on you and to apply your word to our life and to be encouraged and to be supportive of the Jewish people. We, above all people, should be supportive of the Jewish people because we are your children, and you came as the Jewish Messiah to redeem not only the Jew but the Gentile as well. And we stand here today by your grace and because of your mercy to expose and reveal your glory. Lord, now go with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 500.